Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
We are born free, and we will die free. The time in between, though, that's complicated.
In that time, governments, institutions, and our egos will limit our ability to find true freedom in this life. These are real stories of real people overcoming the odds, persevering in justice, and unlocking their potential. Welcome to Finding Freedom. Here's your host, John Oderman.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Finding Freedom right here on the Lions of Liberty Network. And have a great guest lined up for today. I'll introduce him in just 1 minute. Before I do that, just want to thank our live watchers here who are watching live on Thursday afternoon, 5 p.m. on the East Coast. We're streaming live to Twitter, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook. I don't think anybody watches on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook, let me know that you're watching on Facebook in the comments. Feel free to drop a question. Maybe if we have time, I will ask my guest, who I'll introduce in a minute here. So maybe that'll help you with the questions if I introduce my guest. My guest today, let's bring him in. It's Clay Clark. Clay's been on the show. I think this is his third time coming back on Finding Freedom. And Clay's a business trainer, an entrepreneur, event organizer, podcast host, author, public speaker, investor, and he's a real estate investor as well. So he keeps himself busy. Clay, welcome back.
Brother, I appreciate you. And I want to just clarify, everything you said is true, but I think it sounds more impressive than it is. Really what it comes down to is I have a to-do list every day. And I wake up at 3 a.m. and I make a plan for my day and I do it. And whatever gets scheduled gets done, and what doesn't get scheduled doesn't get done. So I appreciate you sharing that.
That's awesome, man. So for people who don't know you, if this is their first time ever seeing you, they're like, who the heck is Clay Clark? What's he all about? Just give the 2 minute, what you're passionate about, what you do, and what makes you tick.
Well, I've written books about it, and I talk about it a lot, so I think about this idea. But I think our lives are defined by our faith, family, finance, fitness, friendships, what we do for fun, and what we do with our focused time. Faith, family, finance, fitness, friendship, fun, what we do with our focused time. So faith, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Family, I've got an incredible wife and 5 kids. Friendships, I don't do well with high drama, low value people. So I tend to hang out with people, some of which are household names and some are not. But, I enjoy the company of people like Dr. Robert Zellner, a partner friend of mine, people like Eric Trump. And then people in my office that are maybe not household names, but they're just diligent people. I love hanging out with people that, like to work hard, do what they say they're going to do, that kind of thing. So faith, family, finance, finances. I grew up really poor, wanted to not be poor. Built a very large company pre-Christ, so don't judge me, folks. It was called DJConnection.com, one of America's largest wedding entertainment companies. And we were doing about 4,000 weddings a year, just to give you some context to that. So it's like 80 weddings every weekend, sights, sounds, that kind of thing. So faith, family, finance, fitness. There was a time in my life where I was really, really, really into fitness. I mean, that was my skew for a long, long time. Now it's not so much a big goal of mine, but faith, family, finance, fitness, friendships, fun, what I like to do for fun. I like working. So it's sort of a deal where I like to work, and working is what I do well. So that's kind of what I do. And then my focused attention, I like to record songs that almost no one ever listens to. I put them out. Sometimes people love them and they'll have a million downloads. And sometimes people go, why did you write that? It's terrible. I call them lyrical miracles. And so anybody who wants to access those, you go to thrivetimeshow.com. And let me make sure I give you a link here. It's thrivetimeshow.com. And then it's called Lyrical Miracles. Let me see here real quick. thrivetimeshow.com, Lyrical Miracles. And yes, there we go. So ThriveTimeShow.com, Lyrical Miracles, and I will send it to you in the private chat. And I'm always recording music there. So that's kind of, if I describe who I am and what I'm all about, that's what I do. And then people pay me to help them grow their company, and I get a small percentage of the growth. So if you're out there today and you have a business that's not doing well, people pay me a small percentage of the growth to help their business grow. And I've been doing that since 2005. And so I own my own companies and I help people grow theirs.
One thing I didn't notice you say, I didn't hear you say there, was politics, which is...
Cannot stand politics. Don't like politics. Don't like Republicans. Don't like Democrats. Love the Constitution. Love the Bible. If you had to say, like, what do you like to do? Mm-hmm. If I was not doing the Reawaken America tour, I like to spend 100% of my time not thinking about politics. I like to go years without knowing. I would love to be completely not involved in politics. But the reality is there's a tyrannical government, right, that likes to take everything from us if they can. And so I've always been the guy that, you know, I go in and vote every year for the Republicans, you know, donate, show up, vote, that kind of thing. But I met a lot of those leaders, John, early on in the Republican Party in my state and other states. And I discovered that really there's this thing called the Uniparty, where you have people that will say the things I want to hear, John. They'll say the conservative things I want to hear. And then they do the opposite. Yeah. And Speaker Johnson is the most obvious example right now. Ted Cruz is one of my favorite people to say what I want to hear, and then who usually just launches endless investigations. But there's very little things that are done, John, to protect our Constitution and to limit government.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I am. I mean, the uniparty, the duopoly, you know, however you want to phrase it, it's pretty hopeless. I got sidetracked for a couple of years into the Libertarian Party, and third parties is a whole nother fiasco, waste of time in general, in my opinion. But the way I look at politics now today, sure, you can vote for president. It might make a difference. It might not. But the closer the politics get to you in your local community, your state level, that's where you can make somewhat of a difference, at least.
Yeah, I agree. And I like to focus on things I can control, you know. So I'm the guy who, I've been buying precious metals since 2005. I'll never forget this. It was 2005, and I was sitting down with a banker, because my business was doing well. Just to give a little context, again, we're doing 4,000 weddings a year, and I'm making approximately $175 per event on my performa. That's my plan, my projected future performance of my business. So I was making about $175 per show or per event, and I was doing 4,000 events a year. So I go to my local banker, who's a friend of mine, and I said, "Hey, you own a business. You own the bank. Tell me. What do you do with your money? Like, what should I do with my money? What should we? I mean, come on. Off the record, just tell me." And he's like, "You want to know?" I said, "I want to know." He said, "Well, okay, yeah, I don't know. You really want to know?" I said, "I have to know. Tell me. And he says, "Well, take a quarter of your wealth, okay, and you need to buy precious metals. Quarter." I said, "Quarter? But you own a bank." He's like, "Dude, listen here, okay? The bank, this is how it works. The bank, we borrow money that we don't have, okay, from the Federal Reserve, and they don't have it either. So they lend us money they don't have at an interest. We take the money that we don't have and we lend it to people that don't need the money and probably shouldn't have the money, so they can buy things that they can't afford to impress people they don't know." And that's the cycle. But eventually, the Federal Reserve, which is not federal, is going to get out of control, and that will cause hyperinflation. So you need to be buying up precious metals. I said, "Well, what book should I read? Oh, wise wizard. Oh, trainer of, you know." He says, "The Collapse of the Dollar. Start there. And read the creature from Jekyll Island."
Book.
Read those.
Creature from Jekyll Island. Great
read
book.
Read those two books. Just read it. And I'm going, what? No, I get, John, I had no idea about the subjects your listeners know about. Yeah, I didn't know about the Federal Reserve. You know, so I'm reading this book and I'm like, what? And I'm a doer. I'm an action guy. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take a quarter of my wealth and buy precious metals, because he says to. And multiple bankers told me the same thing. And I said to the banker, I go back to him, I said, "What else should I do with my money?" He says, "Well, you take a quarter of your wealth and buy real estate from emotional people." So buy real estate from emotional people, and then buy precious metals. That's what you do. I said, "What do I do with the other half?"
Hold on a second. If I could just, so from emotional people, I think I know exactly what you mean. Can you explain that?
Well, he was telling, again, when I first heard it, I didn't know. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he says, "You know, like if someone's getting a divorce, you know, like that's a good source for leads, you know." Yeah. A divorce attorney. You want to get to know that guy. And I said, what do you mean? Because again, I was 25 years old. He says, "Clay, when people are getting divorced, there's so much emotion to it. And usually she gets the house and she's like, I don't even care. Just sell it. You know, or he gets the house. I don't even care. Sell it. You know, there's a lot of emotion there. And so you can usually, you know, buy the house for 20% less than it's worth. And then you, you know, so I started learning about that. And then it led to, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki's books here. And you know, and that's kind of what I was doing. And I have done that. Now, as we're looking at today's show, I'll pull it up so I'm not exaggerating at all. I don't like it when you have exaggerations going on with financial pro tips. But the amount of the price of gold per ounce right now is $2,377 per ounce. That's right now as of today. The price of gold is $2,377 per ounce. And then you look at this real quick. This is just, again, I'm not the one putting out these forecasts, but they're forecasts being put out by what I would consider to be organizations that people respect. I'm not saying they're super credible, but Citicorp just announced that their official forecast is that gold will hit $3,000 in the next 6 to 18 months. Goldman Sachs followed up with a $2,700 prediction. So anyways, that's what I do on a practical level. And then I don't buy things I don't need to impress people I don't know. And so I just kind of live frugal, and that's sort of what I do. You know, that's what I do. I grow businesses and I live frugally. But now with the lockdowns and the quarantines and the curfews, I'm going, oh, really? They're going to try to cancel my business conference. I do every 2 months. I've done that since 2005. And so, John, we had a sold-out event. We had about 300 people coming. And all these people were emailing me like, are you still going to have your conference? Are you still going to have it with the pandemic? Are you still going to have it? I go, yeah, I'm going to have it. So is it okay? Is it ethical? Is it legal? There's a lot of confusion. And then you talk to the medical people, they say, that's a government thing. You talk to the government people, they say, that's a medical thing. You talk to the state people, they say, it's a federal thing. The federal people say, no, it's states' rights. Anyway, long story short, everybody shut down their companies except for me that I knew. Most of my friends shut down their companies. I kept my businesses open. I told my wife, I will sue the mayor of Tulsa if they try to do a lockdown in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'll turn my building into a church. We'll bring in a pastor. We'll fly in a pastor because I'm not one. And we'll have a pastor come in and teach the word of God on Thursdays. And that was, you know, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, whatever it was. And here we are. I thought we would do one event to speak out against the lockdowns. And now we're on event 24 of one more.
So that's the Reawaken America tour, right?
Yeah. So it's June 7th and 8th in Detroit, Michigan. And it has a life of its own at this point.
Give people a flavor for, you know, the types of people they will see if they go to one of these events.
Well, okay. So this is so wild because people always say, who picked these people? That's one of the biggest criticisms I get and one of the biggest positive remarks I get. People go, well, why is Roseanne here? This is weird. Why is Jim
who
Brewer
would not
here?
Want to
this
see Roseanne so and Jim Brewer? Wow.
Yeah. I hear it all the time. Yeah. All the time they'll say, who invited that person? They don't understand that, like, I organize it, I produce it, and I subsidize all the losses. So I let people, one, everyone can name their price. So if you go to timetofreeamerica.com, you're going to see General Flynn and Eric Trump and Cash Patel and, you know, Roseanne and Jim Brewer. And you're like, wow, there's like 70 speakers. Wow. 70 speakers. Most RNC events are $2,000 a plate, you know, because you teamed up with the Libertarians for a while. I did the Republican thing for a while. Everything's a plated dinner, a plated dinner. You're cordially invited to a plated dinner for $500, you know, that kind of thing. My events, you can name your price. So you can pay whatever price you want to pay. So one, it's whatever price you want to pay. Two, there's 70 speakers, most of which are much more well-known than I am. I mean, these are sometimes household names, but they're people that seek the truth. The common denominator is the doctors that seek the truth. So Dr. Peter McCullough, Roger Stone, Eric Trump, Cash Patel, General Flynn, Devin Nunes, they all seek the truth. And then the third is it's high octane. Mm-hmm. It's like a Dave Chappelle comedy, the rawness of that with the energy of college football. It meets like just a truther. It's a truthamageddon, you know? So it's like conservatives are bothered. We've had attorney generals attend these events. We've had senators, and it's awesome watching their faces because they're like, oh, dear. Oh, no, they're going to talk about me. So we're at this event in this particular state, and one of the you know, most well-known conservative voices wanted to speak. And I said, sure, you're more than welcome to speak. We'd love to have you. And so he was in the audience in the first row, kind of watching the speakers just to get an idea for the room. And this doctor comes out and he's like, in the great state of whatever, did you know that our yada yada called for a lockdown, a quarantine, a mask mandate, a curfew, social distancing? And the audience is like, boo, boo. an RNA modifying nanotechnology shots to be required to keep your job. Now, if you want to take a shot or you don't, that's your choice. But did you know that this state's yada yada imposed the yada? The crowd is boo. And John, that guy was supposed to speak next. I'm not kidding. It's this guy comes backstage and he's like, hey, I don't know if this is the right audience for me. I don't know if this is the right audience for me, I think. And, you know, people were like, well, no, you should go out there and speak. You should go out there and speak. You should go out there. Yeah. Go out. And he's like, no, I'm going to bail out of this one. So anyway, we had Alex Jones backstage. So we brought out Alex Jones. The crowd goes nuts. True story. They brought out Alex Jones. Well, then a couple speakers go by and a guy who's really, really well known. I won't mention his name. Household name. This is early on. And he's telling people, guys, we helped end the lockdown. Do you know how we did it? Because we believe in your constitutional right to peaceably gather. The crowd's like, woo, we believe in your right to gather. Woo. And that's why we rolled out the shots to make, and people were like, boo, like the loudest boos of all time, John.
Was it Donald Trump?
No, it was not Trump. It was a person who had connections to the White House. Okay. And they were trying to take ownership of Operation Warp Speed. And the crowd is just, boo, boo, just the biggest boo ever. And the crowd wouldn't stop. It was awesome. And so person gets backstage and they're going, why did a guy get booed so hard there? I go, well, because there's RNA modifying nanotechnology in those shots, you see. And they're going, huh? And they actually learned about it. True story, backstage. And then now they've come out very publicly and famously, again, just trying not to get you sued on today's show, that they came out very publicly now and have said, I have admitted I'm wrong, and those shots are bioweapons. I'd had no idea. So, I mean, it's a learning opportunity for the speakers, too, because people think that these speakers are all-knowing. A lot of them are not. You know, they know their little silo of information, but they might not know the whole conversation.
Yeah, I think that's true with most politically connected people. They're getting fed information from their aides and their, PR people, and you got to say this and the polls say that. And I think a lot of the time they don't actually think it through themselves, which is kind of scary, but that's really the environment that we're operating in when it comes to Washington, D.C. But I did want to jump back. So you were talking about your investment portfolio. I think we talked about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency a little bit last time. I know we talked about a CBDC, central bank digital currency, but just wanted to get a feel for where you stand with regards to Bitcoin and crypto.
Well, okay. Now, in terms of a portfolio, I want to be clear about the word portfolio. It makes it sound too incredible. Where's my money flow? How about that? Yeah. And I'm not saying that I'm discounting what you're saying. I just want to make sure this doesn't feel like a highfalutin conversation that maybe, because sometimes when I say the word portfolio, people get, so what do I do with my money? Where's my money flow? Yeah. Okay. I like to buy precious metals because I know, and I have known for a long time, and I think your listeners know too, that Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, the BRICS bloc, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they are going to roll out a gold-backed programmable central bank digital currency. They are going to. It is a fact.
Really?
A programmable.
Why is that a fact? Where's the evidence we can read about that and learn about it?
Like it. Good question. So we're going to go to DuckDuckGo, and then we're just going to type in gold backed currency. We're just going to do that real quick. And I think that'll be gold backed currency. And when you do that, let's type in BRICS after that. And that should give you enough articles from people that are much more respected than me. But you're beginning to see that BRICS nations are talking about introducing a new currency system. And again, you can look at the different articles, kind of work your way through it. Other things we could point to is the BRICS nations are accumulating the Earth's gold. They are hoarding the Earth's gold. For the past 17 years, and Kitco reports this, and they have little reports that show which countries are buying the most gold and which ones are not. As an example, like Canada's not buying any gold or very little gold, but China is hoarding the Earth's gold. So you're seeing these countries, they're all hoarding gold, accumulating gold in preparation for something. All right. Also, there's a wonderful feed on Twitter. If you go to Twitter, twitter.com, and then you do a search there for BRICS, you'll find this, and I'll send it to you right now, a link here. Let me send it to you real quick. Sending a link. Send a link. Feeling the flow. Hit and send. Okay. So it's twitter.com/BRICS-info, and you can sort of follow the BRICS nations. But what's happening is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they've been hoarding gold for the last 17 years. But then on the first of this year, You had Iran, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Ethiopia. They've all joined BRICS. So Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Egypt, Ethiopia. There you go. And they've all joined BRICS. And so now Putin has announced, because Putin's the head of BRICS for this year. They kind of rotate who's in charge there. So they're announcing that right now, over the next, if you scroll down, I think just a couple more scroll downs, you should see it. But the BRICS nations are announcing they're going to try to aggressively expand and add up to 25 to 40 BRICS nations here over the next couple years. Yeah, so you're seeing that BRICS plans to add sort of between 25 and 40 nations. So that means that the BRICS bloc would control the vast majority of the Earth's oil, of the Earth's gold, and of the Earth's military. So nothing to be concerned about unless you're thinking about it. Yeah. So I would recommend that you would, I buy precious metals, gold and silver. I would recommend that. Now, I'm not going to speak anything negatively about Bitcoin. Can't speak negatively about that. All I can say is that I am personally buying precious metals.
Okay, so precious metals, and I agree with you. I have precious metals too. I think that, you know, people who have, you know, the income saved up should diversify a certain amount and have some precious metals for sure. Question I would have though, so let's say that things do go sideways, Federal Reserve does collapse, and you know, maybe people like you and I, maybe since we do have gold, we become targets and we need to get out of the country. So should we be putting plans in place for things like that to happen? Is that kind of what you see in the future? Or do you think that there could be a situation where there's a collapse and we're able to rebound here in the United States?
Well, I'll say this. This is all I think about. You know, so what you're telling me, or the question you're asking me, is pretty much all I think about. I'm like, man, we got to save this country. But as I watch, you know, my good friend Peter Navarro go to prison. This is the guy who authored the Trump economy. Think about this. This is the guy, 74 years old, John, 74 years old. He authored the Trump economy. He's the one who introduced low taxation, tough negotiation with China. And this, I think, low taxation, tough negotiation with China and deregulation. I mean, that's the big contributions he made to the economy and more, but that's what they, you know, the Trump economy, people say Trump, Trump, Trump. They're talking about the economy. Usually they love the Trump economy, right? People love the Trump economy. The guy who authored that or led that, Trump's chief economic advisor, was Peter Navarro. So I have a lot of concern that that man is in prison right now for failing to turn over his personal communications that he had with the president of these United States when he was working in that official capacity. That's crazy. He's in prison right now. So I've got my fancy sign. I spent several minutes making it. It's gibsongo.com/Navarro. I talk about it on every single show. And if anybody donates, I told Peter, I said, Peter, I'm going to help you raise $1 million. And by the way, I've helped him raise $1.334 million since December 23rd. So it's every one of your wonderful listeners who donates $5 and $10 at a time. Almost no money. And I say almost no money has come in from the big government, the RNC, the governors. You don't see governors talking about the guy who authored the Trump economy. You don't see the senators, the congressmen. Nobody's doing this. So we're doing it right now. GibsonGo.com/Navarro. And if you donate anything at all and you text my cell phone, try texting your congressman, folks. See if they call you back. Text my cell phone number. You're entered in for a chance to win a backstage pass to the Reawaken America tour. People say, why are you doxing yourself? Why are you giving out your own cell phone number? I believe that's where we're at. I believe we're Paul Revering right now. We're trying to save our country. And if we don't, the question you just asked me is going to be very relevant very soon.
Well, I definitely agree with you. We're going down this path so quickly that, you know, and I'm hearing some feedback in my own headphones here, which makes it a little distracting to talk, but not sure what's happening there. All kinds of technical difficulties. It's funny how that happens when you start talking about these things out loud. Let's move on to the next topic. I did want to ask you about the state of foreign policy in the United States. We got a couple minutes left here. Ukraine, Israel, so much money going overseas. It's insane. It does seem like the younger generations are waking up to this crazy amount of money that is going overseas. And I think that the left, the, you know, Biden, the progressives are starting to lose that generation because of this. Thoughts on that?
Well, I would say this behind you, just as a visual aid, it appears as though you have like a dresser of some kind or some kind of something behind you. For the amount of money we've given Ukraine, we could make a border wall made of dressers stacked. Well, that's about probably a 5-foot tall dresser there. We could probably stack that up three times high all the way across the southern border and northern border for what we've spent in Ukraine. I mean, we could have our military, we could deploy our military and recruit some young folks or National Guard to stand at the border and protect our border. I mean, we could pay our National Guard. They say, sir, I'm reporting for duty. What do you want me to do? Stand on the border at all times and make sure no one gets through. I mean, we could erect a wall and have our military behind the wall to stop the illegal immigration if we wanted to. But our country doesn't want to. Our elected officials don't want to. What they want to do is they want to fund the destruction of Ukraine so that we can build it back better. That's what they want to do. You know, Maui. Oh, we care so much about the American citizens. So we give the people of Maui whose homes were burned virtually nothing. I don't want to get the number wrong, but it's sadly low. I mean, it's really depressing.
I don't know if this is still true, but I think the people from Maui still can't get in to even see their homes, that it's still blocked off by the federal government.
I've talked to people who live in Maui who've told me this.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know because I haven't read the official policy, but that's – so, I mean, you have that, and it's like, oh, yeah, we don't have money for those people, but we do have money for Ukraine. Okay, sure, yeah. Now, I would say most Americans can't find Ukraine on a map. Not some, most. I mean, if you just gave people a map and you said, find it on the map, go, I would bet you one out of three Americans could find it. But I can tell you this, I bet you two out of three, maybe eight out of nine Americans could find a problem caused by illegal immigration. I bet you eight out of nine of them could go, you know, I don't know a whole lot about a whole lot of things, but I can tell you this, look at this homeless encampment here. I mean, it's a thing. And so we as a country should be taking our resources, it's not an ethics exam, to protect ourselves. You want to be fruitful, then multiply. Another example, if you're out there today and you are homeless, you probably should become unhomeless before you help more homeless people. I mean, just if you're out there, you want to start a ministry to help the poor, step one, don't be poor. Okay. So if you want to help the, if you want to stop homelessness and poverty, step one, stop your own homelessness and poverty, you know? Yeah. So we should help ourselves. It just doesn't make any sense. It would. And I'd say it's so stupid that it's not stupid anymore. It's intentional. Nefarious destruction of the United States as we know it. And so that's why I do these Reawaken America tour events at great financial loss. And I encourage everybody out there, if you have the capacity, the tenacity, the whatever it is that rhymes with those two words, go to timetofreeamerica.com, timetofreeamerica.com, and request a ticket. We have just under 500 tickets remaining for the Detroit Reawaken America tour. That's Detroit, Michigan, June 7th and 8th. It's going to be a great event. And again, you can name your price. And if you're a member of the media, yourself included, we do free booths for the media. What? Yeah, most of the Republican events, they charge media $10,000 for a sponsored media booth. We do free booths for media. So guys like yourself can interview Laura Trump, Cash Patel, Eric Trump, whatever. So we do free booths for the media. You can name your price if you're an attendee. This is the final confirmed event we have. If Eric Trump or General Flynn want me to go to another state, I told them I'm happy to do so. But this is the final confirmed event that we have on the books.
All right, Clay Clark, thank you for coming on the show. Check out the Reawaken America Tour. Also, check out Clay's podcast, the Thrive Time Show podcast. I was looking through the guest list. Incredible. I mean, the guests you've had on there, really, really impressive stuff. So awesome work there, Clay.
Thank you, brother. I really do appreciate you. You're first class. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you, Clay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. That was my interview with Clay Clark. Hopefully, you all enjoyed it. And if you did, hopefully you've subscribed to the podcast. Of course, you can subscribe to the Lions of Liberty Network on whichever podcasting app you are listening on right now. If you're watching the video, if you're watching live on Twitter, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, whatever, be sure that you are, you know, liking, following, subscribing to that page. And on YouTube, you got to hit that little notification bell so you actually get notified when we go live, because YouTube hates us. It's kind of crazy that we look at our YouTube and our Rumble numbers. We have like 7,000, just south of 7,000 follows or likes or whatever on YouTube. Subscribers, I guess is the word. On Rumble, we have like 150. And we get more people generally who view our Rumble videos than our YouTube videos. That is how crazy YouTube is. We were demonetized for years. They finally remonetized us, but we're obviously still shadow banned. So I guess long story short is just join Rumble. Rumble's a a better thing and get your content there. But that's all I got for this week. If you really like this show and want to support us, please consider becoming a Patreon patron at patreon.com/Lions of Liberty or lionsofliberty.locals.com. You can get access to us, discounts on merchandise, bonus content, all of that good stuff. Okay, without any further delay, I'm going to end the show. I'll see you all next week. In the meantime, always remember to keep your head up and the fires of liberty burning.